Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show as we talk about a deal, or shall I say it, a brand new era when it comes to sports betting, sports gambling, as we are seeing now officially professional sports leagues are now getting ready to discuss and allow gambling these big-time resort areas in Las Vegas. I believe Atlantic City is getting close to something like that as well, allowing these sports – well, actually, it is going on right now – sports books, betting on sports, and regulating – everything from Major League Baseball all the way through into MLS. And you know what? You figured down the line, somewhere, somehow down the line, that Major League Soccer was going to get to be involved with this. They were going to have the piece of the pie. It's really not that difficult to really look at the situation going forward, because you kind of felt that when these businesses that normally would be in Las Vegas, and you know, Atlantic City, while up to a certain point they are involved, but not really, because the only thing they were doing were the horse race betting, or as they call it, the horse race books, like in Borgata in Atlantic City. You felt that, well, when will we have sports betting, sports books going on in the Atlantic City gambling resorts? Maybe, you know, the racetracks? Because we all know it's a big business. This is a big business ever you watch what goes on with these sports books and, of course, fantasy sports being involved with going after betting in professional sports as well as college athletics as well. Now, we all know college athletics are not yet going to get involved in the States, but still, though, you kind of felt that eventually happen. This was eventually going to happen. This was eventually going to be a position where the professional leagues are going to basically get involved and they want their piece of the pie. So all I can say is that this situation that happened with Major League Soccer was eventually going to happen anyway. And, of course, saying, well, you know, are we going to see possibly a professional sports arena will be sponsored by a gambling establishment, whether it be in Vegas or Atlantic City or just a brand name that is well known, you know, worldwide, you know, countrywide. There has been discussions that maybe Caesar's Palace might be named for a soccer stadium, which would probably, I think it's Red Bull Arena, but I'm not quite sure. I don't want to be, I don't want to say too much because I don't know what are the consequences, the deals, or the details of that, I should say. But, you know, rumors are flying around rampantly. what will happen now that the sports books, the gambling establishments, are now coming into the United States of America, also in Canada. You never know. As much as we enjoy watching the game, and obviously people want to make sure that professional athletes do not put down wagers on themselves, on their clubs. You know, the players' union is also getting involved in this sort of situation because everyone wants to make sure that we don't have an issue like this moving forward. Nobody wants to have an issue moving forward. And, you know, and in some ways, it's still kind of new. It's still kind of new because, once again, you would have to go to where it's a situation where you would have to go to certain places that allows sports book gambling to place these wages and everything else that goes on. You would have to go to this. You probably could have gone to a different part of the country to handle it. Each state has their own different rules when it comes to gambling. And that is where, you know, these things can get a little bit tricky. As we already know, DraftKings, FanDuel, this whole thing got started. Once again, they're based in New York State. New York State has not officially allowed these sort of things to happen, but New Jersey has for the online gambling, for the online fantasy games. So until New York State, I guess, decides to throw their name into the hat, at the moment, they're not allowing William Hill or Sugar House, FanDuel, DraftKings. But until that does happen in New York State, you know, you can always go across the Hudson River and make your bet legal in the state of New Jersey once you are officially on New Jersey soil. Is it interesting to see how far this thing has come? I think in quick time it has. In quick time it really has, but still though. Still, once again, this is a situation where who wants a piece of the pie? Piece of the pie, and how will it be, relegated? How will it be managed? It's going to be interesting to watch what's going to happen here. It's going to be interesting to watch how this situation is going to grow. Because, as everybody knows, it's a multi-million, if not a multi-billion dollar industry whenever a huge sporting event or just a regular game or a playoff game comes into play here. Because once again, it's a situation where everybody has to understand millions and millions of dollars are thrown around laying out whatever odds are going to be in these games. Will you take that bet? Will you not take that bet? Will you go against it? Will you be for it? And that, my friends, is where we are in this digital world. Digital world, no matter what it is, the smartphones, the apps where you can use your smartphone as a credit card to pay for your groceries, pay for your your Xboxes, your television screens, your flat screens, DVRs, satellite dish. Go out to a fast food joint. Go online and purchasing all these things that you want just with the push of the little disc on your smartphone to accept it. People are enjoying it. Yes, there's risks. There will always be risks in brand new things. But one thing is for sure. Technology age is improving. It's going to take over our lives. But we have to be diligent. And at the same time, if you're going to be betting on these big time games, regular season games, playoff games, who knows? The Open Cup is next. World Cup qualifying. The World Cup itself always has bets. We'll have to wait and see once again how all these things are going to get regulated. That's what I was looking for, regulated. How will Major League Soccer have the full autonomy of trying to get themselves involved with the big boys? And so far, it looks like they were able to get in this particular way. Once again, this is a huge thing. This is a big, big deal. A very, very big deal when you look at this. This is going to be something where we are now moving on in this digital age. Sports betting is big. It's big in Europe, especially in England. In England, this is going to be something where they have already have basically taken advantage of. Because you don't have to go online in England. The sports books, the wage businesses, they are already inside the grounds, the stadiums of Premier League clubs, Championship League clubs, Football League One, Football League Two, they are already there. You can go inside, place a bet on the match, and if you've won the match or if you've won your bet, you go in there and you automatically collect. William Hill is already all over the place in England. No matter, you're seeing already sponsorships on the shirts of some of these football clubs in England. Bet365, bet this, wager that. When are we going to see it on a professional stadium? It could happen very soon. Don't know when, don't know how. That's not my business. But one thing is for sure. This situation is going to be bigger. It could get better. But once again, this is a situation where the business of sports gambling, sports betting, it can get out of control, but hopefully, can be done the right way. That's what we're hoping for. It gets done the right way. But once again, this is a huge deal for Major League Soccer. This is a huge deal for Major League Soccer. And hopefully, it's going to be number one going forward. And I have a guest on tonight. We're going to try and give him a call again. I don't know if there was an issue right there. We're going to try and give him a call again. And let's see here if we have him on. I believe we have on tonight my guest who wrote the article in the Sports Business Journal, Mr. Ian Thomas, as he was very close to the situation, as once again, Major League Soccer and MGM Resorts, they have a partnership they agreed on for sportsbook betting in MLS. Mr. Thomas, are you there, and how are you, sir?
I am. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Oop, damn. I think I might have lost you.
So, oh, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. I hear you, can you hear me on my ear?
Nope, okay. I hear you very good. I hear you loud and clear. Thank you very much. I think 30 or 40 years ago, you would never see something like this at all, you know, when it comes to sports wagering or, you know, betting on games. You would always have to go to Las Vegas or at least the state of Nevada that has basically, you know, agreed to allow gambling within their state in every town, every city. I can remember when I went to Vegas one time with my aunt and uncle, my two cousins. My uncle was in Vegas for business, but when you go to Denny's, as soon as you enter the doorway, there's a slot machine.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But what does this mean, this day and age, the digital era, to see, you know, William Hill, DraftKings, FanDuel, Sugar House? Now you're seeing all these brand new online sports books coming in, and now that Vegas is spreading their wings. What does that mean to have these professional leagues, sports leagues in the United States and Canada now getting involved with all the wagering that's going on online as well as at your close by gambling establishments?
Sure. Well, you know, to your point, you know, a lot has sort of changed over the years, especially as, you know, more states have looked to bring this on board within their respective states. And, you know, I think for the leagues, you know, obviously the play is fan engagement. The play is to drum up interest, you know, ask sort of any better or what's the most popular bets, it's, you know, NFL. And, you know, the general consensus for years was that that was driving interest, that people were very keen on watching NFL games. They weren't even invested in because they weren't a fan of the team or what have you, simply because they were betting on them. And, you know, now as more states have looked to, you know, legalize sports betting, you know, leagues are also sort of wanting that part of the puzzle for them as well, you know, and the opportunity to have some sort of revenues developed around this, not just sort of letting sort of Vegas or the sports gambling companies kind of do their own thing, you know, see how they can kind of make this sort of thing work for them as well and get people involved in that way.
So basically the leagues now, of course, we know that the NHL is involved, Major League Baseball is involved, the NBA is involved, Major League Soccer, as you have said in your article, are the fourth professional sports league in the United States to be a partner with MGM Resorts. Now, why was MGM Resorts on the front foot that they wanted to be the exclusive rights holder or at least the exclusive partner to these professional sports leagues when it comes to betting on regular season games as well as playoff games and the big finals?
Well, I think, you know, MGM and their CEO, Jim Murren, has definitely put a priority to be the first mover in this space and really sort of align themselves with all of these leagues very quickly. I mean, I think to your point, you know, once the NBA did the deal last fall, sort of the chips have fallen and all the major leagues have kind of, you know, more or less followed NFL sort of a little differently with its partnership with Caesars. But nevertheless, I mean, I think, you know, MGM, I think, sees the value of being involved. Then again, these partnerships that they're signing are not technically exclusive, so this wouldn't prohibit a William Hill or their ilk also having a partnership with some of these leagues or even still offering their games. But I think, you know, MGM sees the value in being first to the table, to say they were the first sports betting partner of these properties, and also to, you know, leverage that sort of goodwill with those fans of those sports and those leagues as well. I mean, I would imagine that if someone was going to Vegas and they were considering placing a bet on MLS or let's say NHL or any of these leagues for that matter, or games within, maybe they'd be more inclined to sort of say, well, yeah, MGM, I know they're a league partner, and I'm going to go over to, you know, their sports book and place that bet there. So, you know, it's a branding play, obviously, but, you know, I think MGM sees the opportunity here just as the leagues do in terms of, you know, bringing more people into the fold.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. And, you know, we've always seen in the newspapers every time, whether it's a baseball game or a hockey game, an NBA game, even the NFL, you always see those odds. You know, who do
sure.
they favor? Who do they go against? Now that you know, if you go to the newspapers and you see who's playing, whether you're a Yankees fan, maybe a Rangers fan, or a Jets fan, Giants, and you know, you're a New York City FC fan, mm-hmm. does that now also help MGM with the newspapers always giving out the lines at each and every morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the mainstream nature of sports betting or mainstream acceptance of it is only sort of continuing to increase. You know, I think, you know, the idea that this was something that maybe you did, you know, you drove to Atlantic City or your one trip a year to Las Vegas and you placed these bets and it didn't seem, you know, maybe totally above board, or you had your sort of local bookie that you were doing these things. And obviously that's, you know, has its own sort of legal quandary, but it certainly is. It certainly happens. I think, as you know, things like fantasy sports and daily fantasy and to your point, you know, lines, you know, being discussed on national television broadcasts or ESPN announcers or FS1 announcers talking about these, or shows being based around them, you know, odds and gambling bets and things like that. I think, you know, it's becoming a little more publicly accepted, and people are more willing to, you know, kind of take it a little out of the shadows, which I think is, you know, obviously in a lot of ways, the whole point of this legalization movement, and, you know, make it take away the stigma of what it is and, you know, have it be fun. Obviously, if, as long as you're doing it within, you know, reason and being sort of mature and appropriate about the kinds of bets and wagers that you're actually putting on the games themselves.
More recently, mostly in England, if you watch the Premier League, which I assume you do,
sure.
we're seeing professional football clubs, soccer clubs in England. If it's not your typical advertisers on the shirts, like Chevrolet for Manchester United or Yokohama Tires for Chelsea, now we're seeing, you know, sports bet shirts or Bet365. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, you know, I don't think I've seen William Hill yet, but we're seeing these low-level or high-level gambling sites advertising on shirts, on soccer shirts now. Is that going to be the future now, with professional sports advertising on jerseys of any kind?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, you're starting to see this, you know, in the states where gambling is, or sports betting is now legal. I mean, New Jersey is a great example of this. You know, the Devils, since that, the, you know, the legalization of this and the start of this NHL season, you know, I've signed multiple partnerships with sports betting companies to have not only, you know, branding on, you know, in arena and whatnot, but, you know, have set up effectively clubs in the Prudential Center where, you know, they don't have necessarily kiosks or things like that, but certainly push you to, you know, to their app or give you information on how to bet, you know, if you are sitting in your seat in the Prudential Center through, you know, the affiliated app that they have, which obviously that, you know, mobile sports betting is kind of the general push across these companies. You know, I think as you start to see more states sort of, you know, go down that same path, I mean, you know, right now we're at a point where not many states where sports betting is legal. There are too many professional teams, but I'd imagine if we had this conversation, let's say 18 to 24 months from now, when most likely a few more states follow suit, and those will include, you know, several states where probably multiple teams will be. You know, I it's only going to make sense that those companies, those sports betting companies, are going to say, well, you know, we have a pretty attentive audience here in the building. Let's get our sort of branding out in front. And I think, you know, speaking directly to your point, you know, I think advertising and high level opportunities for these brands or companies, you know, as it relates to jersey advertisement or on-court advertisement or naming rights to stadiums and things like that. I mean, those are the big fish. I mean, that's the sort of thing that really gets people eye. I mean, I was watching the Knicks game earlier, and, you know, right by the player bench, there's a DraftKings logo. I don't think that's, you know, going to be going away anytime soon. They want to cash in, and teams know that those brands are hungry to have their logos and marks presented close to drive fans, and vice versa. They see the value in being making sure fans know they're aligned with these sports.
And now, and going back to England, of course, you know this as well as I do. There are betting parlors inside the soccer stadiums.
Sure.
Whether you go to Old Trafford in Manchester United, or you go to the Emirates in London for Arsenal, you go to watch Chelsea over at their place. There are betting parlors inside the stadium. Are we going to see next that type of situation? Now, like I said, you already said that there's going to be already, you know, the apps that are on everyone's phone. They're going to do electronically. But will there be a physical betting parlor or a section where this part of the arena or stadium is designated as a betting area? Could that happen?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't want to put a time frame on it, but I think we're certainly close to that sort of thing happening. I mean, I think to the, you know, everything is sort of going mobile these days, whether it's ticketing or ordering food or any sort of thing. So I think the inclination is going to be to drive folks to interact with gambling or sports betting through an app if they choose to. But I think to your point, you know, nothing is probably going to get as much foot traffic or attention as, you know, the booth or box that selling actual tickets or where you place your bets, or, you know, to your point, when you walk into a Premier League stadium and there's a big sign that says place a bet on who's going to score the first goal, that's what's going to draw people to sort of make those sort of bets. And, you know, as it relates to MLS, you know, I know for the league, you know, they view this as an opportunity to really grow their own popularity, to get folks more engaged with the sport, to get people more inclined to care about, you know, their non-city matches. You know, when you know, if you're a fan of the Red Bulls, you're not necessarily tuning into the Galaxy Portland match at nighttime. And I know this is a little bit outside of your sort of question specifically in the arena, but they hope that maybe this will drive some more folks to care about games and raise the national relevance or even local relevance of some of these matches, or even the profile of players that people are really intrigued to sort of play, similar to how the profile of certain players in the NFL have been raised as a result of, you know, the proliferation of fantasy football and the knowledge there. So, you know, like I said, I wouldn't want to put a time frame on when you might see that happen. I do think MLS is going to be very aggressive on this front. And I know other teams, other sports, you know, whether it's been in Washington and, you know, the teams owned by Ted Leonsis, the Wizards and the Capitals, and him trying to be very aggressive on this front. I think, you know, as it's started to be allowed in certain states, I think teams will sort of start to take that leap as well.
Yeah, I agree with you there because, you know, like you've mentioned it in your article and I've mentioned it already, you know, this is a multi-million, if not a multi-billion dollar business to bet on anything and everything in professional and even collegiate sports. Why do you think in the state of New Jersey that they have banned college sports betting? Why do you think they've done that?
Well, I don't want to get too deep into it because I will admit I'm not totally an expert on the college betting space. I mean, I think there's always a stigma as it relates to college sports, and because it's amateur athletes, and you know you're placing bets. I know there's a little bit concern as you kind of go down from the professional level regarding the integrity of the game, and I know. You know, for all of these sports betting partnerships, one of the first things that any league or folk involved would tell you is that, you know, for them, the integrity is of the betting and the product on field, on ice, on court, whatever the sport may be, is sort of tantamount. And they're going to make sure that, you know, any level of legalization of sports betting does not impact, you know, any sort of point shaving or thrown games or any other sort of implication there. And I think there is a little bit of a fear on, you know, how this impacts amateur sports and by proxy NCAA basketball. You know, I think as perhaps the NCAA figures out its own, how it's going to sort of answer the question of paying athletes or, you know, professionalizing the collegiate athlete in a lot of ways. Maybe that will remove the stigma to a certain degree. But I just think there's, you know, especially for lawmakers, I think there's a little bit of level of hesitancy to really open the floodgates on what is sort of, you know, for some at least, viewed as a non-professional sort of sport.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. And I do agree with you of why they are acting like that. But, you know, hey, look, that's what are you going to do? You know, a lot of good colleges in New Jersey. And, you know, Rutgers is always king in New Jersey. If it's not Rutgers, it doesn't mean a darn thing.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
I guess what I'm going to say is this. You know, are we going to see one day, and, you know, you can comment if you like or not, are we going to see one day, like, you know, in like what Nevada does, like they'll have, you know, slot machines in every business that's out there, whether it's, at a restaurant or a diner, hell, even at the gas station, even at the airport, you know, are we going to see something, or maybe we'll see a sports book in the local streets of New York, if New York State ever does agree to having you know, sports books and allowing the stadiums, you know, in the Bronx and in Queens, and of course, Barclays Center in Brooklyn and Madison Square Garden in Manhattan. Even when the new Coliseum opens up near vicinity of Belmont Raceway, are we going to see something like that in the future? That maybe if you go to your local neighborhood, remember when there was OTB? Are we going to see something like that again?
Yeah, I mean, from a sports betting point of view, I mean, I think it's potentially possible. I mean, you know, I think if the expectation is that this is going to only increase the amount of sports betting that's out there, whether, you know, and even the sort of shadier, you know, bets that you place with your bookie or professional or you know, effectively above water betting. You know, by legalizing this is only going to increase the amount. And I think, you know, to that point, I would never say never in terms of the idea of potentially, you know, there being some place in, you know, at least major cities or major towns where you could sort of go and place bets, to your point, you know, like an OTB. I mean, is it a crazy idea to suggest that at a place like a Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that, that is trying to draw fans in to watch sports, that maybe there's a kiosk in there that allows you to place sort of bets. I mean, I think the real question is here is how much does sort of mobile betting sort of catch on? Because, you know, the trend to sort of eliminate the brick and mortar entity of anything and improve margins as a result is pretty strong in any business. So I think, you know, maybe it just becomes everyone sort of has apps and is placing bets on their own, you know, and do you need a physical structure to sort of house that environment in a way? I'm not sure, but I think, you know, states see the potential revenue that the taxes based around this can generate for them. And I don't see, you know, unfortunately here in the Northeast and New York and New Jersey, we're certainly in two states that, desire increased tax revenues. So if there's a outlet, they feel like they can kind of, further open this spigot and draw more revenue from it. I don't think it would be completely bizarre to envision a future where this sort of thing is catches on even further and is sort of even more out there on that front.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are not old enough to know what OTB stands for, off-track betting, because back in the 70s, and I think till what, maybe the mid-80s, I think, maybe late 80s, you could go any neighborhood, you can find an off-track betting parlor, and that's where New Yorkers would bet on anything that happened at Aqueduct, Belmont. I don't know if they had satellite New York and New Jersey, including like the Meadowlands or Monmouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, but for sure, back in the day, that was the big thing, and I should know because my grandfather took me to one.
And they're still around here on Long Island. They still got a crowd.
Really?
Sure.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, I mean, was that like a regular business by someone or was that from the state?
Yeah, no, that's effectively like a privately owned place. I mean, they obviously, were privy to certain restrictions and whatnot, but it's not too dissimilar than someone having, like you said, a sports betting outlet or something to that degree. I mean, I don't know how far off we'd be from something like that, but like you said, the model for what those could kind of look like is, it has been proven when betting on racing and whatnot was, outside of the major races now, was still sort of a more popular thing and, still has its folks that are very involved when it comes to the Preakness or the Derby or things like that. But, like I said, the model has been used for that sort of sports betting space.
Yep, absolutely. So just to let you know where I'm originally from, I'm from the Bronx. And the OTB was next to a Woolworths on East 204th Street and near the corner of Perry Avenue. So that's how I know this. My grandfather and his friend, they went inside. Thank God my parents and my grandmother are actually down in Florida retired. They don't know this. he took me in there, and I was getting hungry, and I asked, Can I order food? Yeah, go and order food, whatever you want. That means leave us alone. We just want to concentrate on watching the ponies. So I had some guy, you want to place a bet, kid? Yeah, I like a bet on a burger, fries, and a drink. Okay, whatever. And I never got it until we went to the McDonald's up the block, but that's okay. but that's really interesting. And, I just have to say, finally, in your opinion, finally, is this business going to become bigger? Are we going to see more competitive and maybe bigger names or brand new names coming into this business? Do you think they're going to have to go to the states and register their name to own a business? Will the states have to be a partner if, let's just say, not so much it's an online company, but as we talked about,
right,
like OTB, let's just say for the heck of it, some guy opens a business and it's on Lexington Avenue and on 86th Street, and that section not only is halfway owned by the gentleman that's going to create his own sports betting parlor, but he has to be – I don't want to say in cahoots, but he has to be a partner with the state – to make it legal for him to not only run the business, but for the state of New York to, if they ever do it, get a piece of the cut.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, not to sort of dodge your question in any way in answering this, but I think that's what's really interesting about the space. I mean, for all the states that have approved this or effectively allowed sports betting thus far, every deal is effectively, or every, law, or however you would like to look at it, has been, fundamentally different in some respect. And I think, whether that relates to, the way it approaches sort of online betting or the way that the states themselves are, you know, extracting revenue from this, or how they're collecting revenue around it, or who is approved to you know, do bets, or when they can, or the locations in which they can, or the locations in which they can't. I mean, I think it's one of those things that, you know, each state, based off its own sort of, you know, tolerance towards betting, or you know, political affiliations, or beliefs on, you know, the morality of betting in a lot of ways, has sort of slightly approached differently. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, a lot of these sort of questions, you know, might not be answered until there's sort of some broader federal oversight or law that's put in place in there, which frankly, I'm sure if we knew, we could make quite a good bet on this as well. But, you know, I think some of these things are going to have to wait for that sort of real high-level overarching sort of approach. And, you know, I don't even have any sense of what that timetable might look like. But I think, you know, in the meantime, I think to your point, you know, states are going to want a piece of this. They view this as a revenue generator for themselves, and also, you know, wipe out a little of sort of illegal activity at the same time. And, you know, I think for all parties involved, they see this as a growing business, which is why, you know, leagues are doing partnerships, why sports betting companies want to do partnerships with leagues and teams, why states are opening this up, and then obviously why fans are excited about it. I mean, I think it's kind of a virtuous circle in a lot of these things, and I wouldn't be surprised to sort of continue to see it grow, as, you know, seemingly so far everyone is seeing some level of benefit from this.
Yep, and, you know, we always knew this was going to be a big business. You try to do it legally, and you remain in one state or in one area, and now it looks like it's going to bloom and become this big money revenue generator that it was going to be regardless. It's just someone had to really knock on the door and present it in the right way. Well, Ian Thomas, thank you very much for joining me on this special report. And by the way, great job on the article you wrote for Sports Business Journal on this with Major League Soccer. You know, sooner or later, this was bound to happen. And as long as it remains a positive, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. Thank you for your time. And have a good evening.
You as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Ian Thomas from the Sports Business Journal on this article of, once again, MLS, Major League Soccer, and the MGM Resorts. They have agreed for a sportsbook betting partnership. What does that mean? Very simply put, and this is from his article, from Mr. Ian Thomas's article, according to the Sports Business Journal, the deal gives the casino giant non-exclusive rights to MLS data for fans and sports betting customers. The two parties will also apparently collaborate on a free-to-play game that is expected to be released later this year. In addition, MGM is set to be integrated into the league's digital and social channels, as well as pitch-side signage during nationally televised games. And according to the report, the partnership will also see the pair work to bring soccer events and other activations to Las Vegas, which apparently could range from league business meetings to esports. So there you have it. That's from Ian Thomas's article in the Sports Business Journal. This is a big business, folks. This is a huge deal. We're seeing this moment coming to life. And it could get bigger. It could also get broader. We're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. And we're just going to have to sit back, relax, and watch the show and watch how it happens. But all I can say is this, and of course I'm not your mother, I'm not your father. But let me say this. If you're going to be betting on matches in Major League Soccer, please do so wisely. Don't lose your head. You want to use your head. Don't lose your head. Trust me. I should know. I've lost my head one time. And then, after losing my head during Atlantic City, the next time I went down, I used my head. So there you have it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for the special report show here on the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Once again, I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Ian Thomas from Sports Business Journal, for calling in and discussing his article and the situations involving gambling and sports betting with Major League Soccer. Join me as I will review the United States taking on Ecuador in their first big-time friendly, as the big boys will be battling it out for their country against the best from the nation of Ecuador. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. I'll talk to you next time. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.